Welcome to Alive to Give Life, the online teaching ministry of Pastor Pascal Ngwenya. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive City Church. He's a seasoned and anointed teacher of the Word of God. As you listen to this message, get ready for a complete turnaround in every area of your life. Now, let's join the message already in progress.
This morning, let's talk about the blessedness of loyalty. The blessedness of loyalty. In other words, to be loyal is to be blessed. A loyal person will be blessed. There is a blessing in being loyal, or shall I say, there is a blessing in being faithful. It is not easy to be faithful. It is not easy to be loyal to God, even to yourself, to your wife, to your children. It's not easy. But there is a blessing in it. So I want to talk about the blessedness of loyalty. And I believe if you can just see the good side of being faithful, the advantage and the blessings that are in you being a loyal person, a reliable person. A loyal person is a person that doesn't change. You find them where you left them. A faithful husband is a husband that keeps the same wife. A faithful wife is a wife that keeps the same husband. A faithful church member is a church member that you find in the same church. Am I communicating to you? It's the same person. You are finishing strong. Let's look at one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8. The end of a matter is better than the beginning. And as if that wasn't enough, God adds, patience is better than pride. When you look at that verse from the onset, you cannot understand what the Bible is saying, and things don't seem to relate to each other. But as you look deeper into the verse, you realize that the life of every man is in that verse. Everything about your life, what has worked is because of that word verse. What didn't work is because of that verse. Those that end are those that have been faithful. And the beginning is never better. It is the end that is better. And unfortunately, most people don't end well. They begin well, but they don't end well. Yet it is the end that is better. So you can now see the amount of people who have never enjoyed anything of significance because they never reached the end to enjoy the betterness of the thing. People saying to me, hey, Pastor, this thing, it is starting very bad. It is starting very bad. I better pull out now. It can never start better. It ends better. Some of you are expecting it to start better. It doesn't start better. It ends better. Oh, Pastor, this marriage. Oh, Pastor, my child. This and that. It will end better if you follow the rules. Anything that is called a thing, if you can call it a thing or a matter, it has a better end. Any matter has a better end. Whatever your personal matter is, I'm here to tell you there is a better end for that matter. There is a better end for that matter. If you can just follow what you are going to learn here this morning, your end will be better. Hallelujah. So it is the end that is better. Stop expecting better at the beginning. That is why we get discouraged. My Bible says the beginning is small, insignificant. The beginning is humbling. So the beginning cannot be better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anything you start at the beginning is not nice. It's not nice. People laugh at you. People criticize you. Sometimes you can't even say it out loud because you have no proof. Many of us started in places where we are not even free to speak and say, this is where I came from. So most of the time, the beginning is bitter. It's bitter. That's why when a child comes out, he cries, but he doesn't smile. But that same child that is crying now, a few years from now, he will be smiling. Just now, it will be Linyalo. That child will be smiling. I see you smiling in Jesus' name. What causes the end to become better? Because for some people, the beginning is better, the end is bitter. But for other people, the beginning is bitter, but the end is better. All of this is controlled by these two last words that we see here, patience and pride. A patient man will get anything. A patient man can accomplish anything. The Bible says, go and see the ant. The ant is not in a hurry for nothing. The ant takes one grain of sand at a time. But come a few years later, you'll find a mention. A patient man. The first reason why the end doesn't get better but bitter, because people are impatient with themselves, impatient with other people, impatient with time, impatient with God, impatient with their husband and their wife. They're impatient. So the end never gets better. It gets bitter. Divorce. Impatience. And most of the problem we have is just lack of patience. That's all. It's just that you are not patient. You don't want to wait. Am I communicating to you? Let me tell you. The reason you struggle is because you are impatient. That's the first reason. The reason you are kicking in the womb, you don't want to stay there. You want to come out. You are hearing music out. You want to come and see it. But if you come out, you are dead. People start a business, they want $1 million now. They start a sale, the sale must multiply today. They get married now, the marriage must be happily ending now. Where? In this life? I'm asking, in this life, are we talking on the same, are we on the same earth? Impatience. Most accidents are the result of impatience. Almost every prisoner you see in cells is there because of impatience. I couldn't wait to get a job, to finally get a salary, so I can buy what I want to buy. I needed to go and steal because I don't want to wait and take the time and wait and do what I'm supposed to do. So I go before the time and I end up in a bitter place. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. I could not wait for the right person God has for me. I saw other people getting married, so I became impatient. I also went for the first Tom and Jerry. Now today, I'm 6 feet under. It is impatient. Look, trace all your problems with impatience in mind. You will see how impatient you've been. You will see. Now, if you had just waited a little bit, the thing that you were dreaming for will be here. The things you are envying is because you are impatient. If you could just be patient, take your time. The reason we are in debt, lack of patience. It's simple. Every debt you have, every credit you have, I can trace it to lack of patience. That's it. It is because I am impatient. I don't want to wait to have the money. I need to go and borrow money from another person to go and get what I want, I believe I need now. And interestingly, after you get it, you realize you don't need it. I'm communicating. That's why many end is bitter, not better. Impatience. Number two, pride. Pride. Never play with pride. Pride is the reason of the fall of man. Satan fell because of pride. And from the fall of Satan, every man that falls, you can trace his fall to pride. Pride. Why a marriage is falling apart? Somebody is too proud to say, I'm sorry. He is too proud to say, I made a mistake. And so he will allow the marriage to end bitter rather than say, I'm sorry. Why do we have many children that are going around carrying curses? Anything they try to do doesn't work. Because he is too proud. She is too proud to go and say, Mommy, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to talk to you like that. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to behave like this. They are too proud. So they leave the house and say, I'm going to go and make a life for myself. And nothing is working. Nothing is working. Nothing is working because of pride. You are too proud to go home and say, I made a mistake. You are too proud. This is why the end is bitter, not better. Impatience and pride. Show me a patient man, I will show you a man with a better end. Show me a humble man, I will show you a man. Show me a humble woman, I will show you a woman with a better end. Your lifting hands to God doesn't change the state of your spirit. If you are proud in the spirit, God cannot change his word for you. God will not change the Bible for you. No matter how high you are lifting your hands, if you are proud, the Bible says God resists the proud. He cannot change. So the only destiny of a proud man is bitterness. It's a bitter end. There are two people who will not have a bitter end. The impatient man and the proud man. Don't join that group. I said, don't join that group. Reject that group. Choose to be patient. Patience is better than pride. Patience. Patience. Be there. Wait. The Bible is full of wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Again, I say, wait, wait, wait for the Lord. Don't rush. Wait. In fact, the Bible says, he who is in a hurry to get wealth will be poor. Television has lied to us. Somebody in the beginning of the movie, he's in the bush. By the middle of the movie, he's in a skyscraper. And you are thinking to yourself, wow, look at what he did. But you don't know the behind the scenes. You see, as I'm standing here now, my wife bought me this pink suit. And when my wife started buying this suit, I didn't know. She bought it patiently. She went, bought small. Even though she has money, she took her time. I wish I could tell you that I just went to a shop and I stole that suit. And I said, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one, I want that one. This one was bought patiently. And I'm glad I'm talking about patience this morning because I'm wearing patience. It's either you go the patient way or you go the credit way. You choose which one. And people end up killing themselves because they say the credit is too much. I will never pay. I cannot pay. I don't have anything to pay. Let me just go. You don't need to go. God has a better plan for you. Amen? Amen. So, that was just actually my... I haven't told you what I want to tell you. This was, I just tried to help you get in my level of thinking so that when I'm starting now, you can flow with me. Amen? Now, let's go with seven great principles or seven great blessings of loyalty. A person who is a loyal person is a person who is patient and he's humble. He waits. He waits. The first thing that comes to you when you are loyal, when you don't change all the time, the moment pastor speaks to you this way, you move to that church. And you go to that church, the moment a visiting prophet comes and says this, you jump to another church. Yeah. I have seen people leaving a church where God planted them because of a visiting pastor. The pastor is not even permanent in the church. He's just passing. Then you trust his word more than the word of the person who's been teaching you for years. A visiting minister comes and removes you from a place of establishment. And there's one of my sons here. One time, we're ministering in the church with another minister. And then after the service, he just started saying things to this guy of mine. And the Holy Ghost says to me, as soon as he leaves, rebuke that thing. It was very nice things that he was saying to my son. But he had no right to say that. Do you understand? He had no right to say what he was saying. So I thought he's a bit ignorant. He doesn't know a few things. So when he left, I said to my son, I'm the one who guides you. God brought you under my leadership. The things you have heard there must be a confirmation, not a direction. Every time a visiting leader comes and directs your life, you are lost. You must be confirming what my pastor has been saying all along, not directing a new course of my life. I don't even know you. You don't know me. And you will find people that are jumping left, right. Because of a brother, he was faithful and humble in the church, serving under his pastor. A visiting minister invited by the pastor came, and while he's preaching, he says to him, "From today, you are a bishop." In front of his pastor, when he left there, he split the church. He says, "I am a bishop." As I'm talking to you now, if he has five people, it's a lot. The bishop. I will communicate. Whether you are interested in the communication or you are not interested in the communication, I will communicate to you. Because you need to know the truth. Amen? I know some pastors are not free to talk the way I talk to you. That's why you are deceived. And when you come to a church like this, you are dealing with a person who speaks the truth. And I know you feel scared. Hey, why is pastor talking like this? That's how Jesus will stand and speak certain things. And as he's speaking, people are getting scared around him. But it's the truth that sets free, not the lies. Look at loyalty, blessing number one. This is why you must be a loyal Christian. If God planted you at ACC, you must be loyal. This is reason number one. Because loyalty frees you to belong and to invest. To belong and to invest. Loyalty frees you to belong and to invest. Let's look at Psalm 84, verse 3. The Bible says, even the sparrow has found a home. A sparrow has found what? A home. And a swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young. And if you don't believe that this is connected to the church, then the next verse is a place near your altar. No, go back. A place near your altar, O God Almighty, my King and my God. Then verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Selah. Go back to verse 3 and let me give you a key there quickly. Then we're going to move to the next one. Even the sparrow has found a home. You cannot invest in a rented house. Can you invest in a rented house? Can you, if you are a tenant in a house, will you put 10,000 in that house? Will you change the tiles of that house? You will never invest as long as you have a rental mentality. You only begin to invest when it is your home. So as long as the sparrow doesn't find a home, the sparrow cannot release the children. Do you know the reason why you don't tithe? It's because you don't think this is your home. That's all. As long as you have a tenant mentality, I'm a tenant at Alive City Church. I haven't found my home yet. I'm a tenant. A tenant doesn't invest. A tenant doesn't fix things that are broken. A tenant look at things and say, somebody must fix that one. Somebody must fix this one. They don't know. This is going to fall apart. That's a tenant. It is not my home. I don't invest there. I don't put my gifts there. I don't put my capacities there. It is not my home. The sparrow has found a home. And because she found a home, she is investing there. Now, the tragedy of many of us is that we die looking for a home. Yeah. You will be surprised. The people that are not tithing at ACC are tithing nowhere. They are tithing nowhere under this heaven. The people that are not committed here, working here, doing the work, they are doing it nowhere. Oh, yes. They die without a home. They don't commit. I said, no, I'm not going to commit myself here. I'm a tenant. I'm passing by. You see, Pastor, I'm just here because I'm working around, you know, so don't get too excited. I visit your church because it happens to be the church that is around. Don't get too excited. This is not my home. 2 years pass. This is not my home. 4 years pass. There's still no home. Then he's 50. Still no home. It has become a habit. There are some people, they've been renting from the same house for 30 years. A normal mortgage is how many years? 20 years. So until you cross that 20 years line, that house is not your house. You are mortgaging. You are paying rent every year, every month. So you've been there. If you fail to pay for 3 months, they come and take the whole thing. So when you hear me say, some people have been in a place for 20 years and it's still not their place. The sparrow has found a home. Where is your home? Where is your home? Where is your home? You are always looking. You are always holding back. When we are dancing, you dance small. It's not my home. When we are working, I say, come, let's fix the church. No, it's not my home. You see, if it was your home, were you going to leave your home in the mud? No, of course not. But it's not your home, you see. It's not your home. And because it's not your home, you don't invest there. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it means to rent, and I know what it means to have a house. And I can guarantee you, most of my strength goes to my house, not you. The place where I'm just renting. So loyalty frees you to belong somewhere. When you decide to be loyal, is that I am now freeing myself from these other options that I don't even know whether they exist or what. Let me focus. This is where God planted me. Let this be my home. If you look at the second verse, it says, the Bible says now, blessed are those who dwell. It doesn't say in your home. It says in your house. This is not God's home. It is God's house. He has many like this all over South Africa. So he cannot say this one is my home. So it means the other ones, what are they? So this is one of his houses. But this is not one of your homes. For him, it is a house. But for you, it is a home. God has many houses of worship. But you're not supposed to have many homes. You're supposed to have one home. Am I communicating to you? Okay, listen to me. If I ask you now, where is your home? Are you going to tell me, hey, which one, Pastor? I have many homes, you know. We have one home. We have one home, but we can have many houses. You find a businessman, he has a house in Santon, a house in there, a house there. But if you ask him, where is home? He will say, oh, home, Makopane. That's home. I have many houses in the city, but I have a home. Where's home? Do you have a place where when you get there, you don't hold back? You invest everything you have? Do you have a place like that in this life? Where this is what I have decided, this is going to be home. God placed me here. This is home. I will not hold back when I'm here. Everything I have goes there. Now, when I told you guys the project we are having to build the church, that I told my wife and I gave 10,000, some of you were shocked. Hey, Pastor, 10,000 for the church. Why? Is it your home? It's because you don't understand. I don't have another one. This is the only one I will ever have. Anything I have that can be of a blessing to God, it must come here. I put it here. Where are you putting yours? Where is home? Where is home? Where is home? I repeat, the tragedy is that many people die and they're still looking for the home. They've never found home to say, this is going to be home. We tied there. We are committed there. We do everything there. They are running around. I want to be this sparrow. I found my home. And because I have found my home, I can leave my eggs there. And my young can come out of there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Until the sparrow has found a home, she cannot release the eggs. She will look for the high mountain, a secure place, build her nets, and then release the eggs. I'm communicating. I hope I'm communicating to people that have ears to hear. Let's come out of these jokes we are busy with. That's why not much comes out of our life. Why? Because you are not investing anything substantial. A man of God said something yesterday that got me thinking. He said, are you not amazed that a person will take ₦1,000 to the mall and he will say, yo, this ₦1,000 is too small. But if the same person comes with that ₦1,000 to the church, he will say, this ₦1,000 is too much. So in the mall, ₦1,000 is too small. But in the church, ₹1,000 is too much. It's too much. I can never give ₹1,000. Why? But in the mall, I need more. And nothing you get at the mall will take you anywhere. One thing, one key you pick from this place can take you to the greatest height. Just one key. One thing you catch here. But this is the place where you invest the less. You put the less of your effort. You don't pray. What is this? What is this? It's miseducation. I came to give you some direction. By the grace of God, call a place a home. If it is a Life City Church, let it be a home for you. Not just a house of worship, but this is home. This is home. I don't hold back when I'm here. Okay, the other thing you are holding, who are you holding it for? Have you seen people that go to a party? Everybody is dancing, they are just... People are busy going down, they are doing this, and then the guy is just... And you are thinking to yourself, he's waiting for a certain song. There's a certain song he's waiting for. Maybe when that song comes, then he will show us. To your greatest surprise, all the songs are played. And the party is over. Every day you come to church, let's buy Iveco. Let's buy the land. Let's invest for the land. Let's do something for God. But some of us are. You are just there. I'm waiting, Pastor. I'm waiting. You are waiting for what? The next thing you know, you are before God, waiting. You have wasted all the opportunities because you couldn't recognize a home. For some of you, this church is the house of God. I don't deny that. But then for some of you, this is your home. I don't want to assume that everybody listening to me, this is their home. No. Some of you are just visiting. Oh no, you just happen to be around. It's okay. And we love you. But for some of us, this is home. And those are the ones I'm talking to. The people that ACC has bred. People that ACC, by the grace of God, you are a house, a child, a son in this house. This is home. You don't behave as a stranger. Waiting for opportunities that will never come. Until they finish that in their whole life, Satan has stolen every opportunity from a person. They appear before God. All the money God gave them was wasted. They didn't do nothing for God. They didn't achieve nothing for the kingdom of God. They cannot stand before God and say, Lord, this is what I did in the home where you placed me. This is what I did. This is how much I invested. This is how much of my time I put in it. I took all the gifts you gave me and I planted them there. This is how many people I brought home. This is how many souls I brought home. This is how many people. If anything, let me now give you the other side of it. Can you have a home and destroy it yourself? Huh? Can you steal from your own home? We don't steal from our home. We protect our home. Do you know when people start destroying the church, it's because they don't believe that's their home. Oh, Mr. Kenneth, you are welcome, sir. You are welcome, sir. God bless you. God bless you, sir. You guys don't understand what is going on. I believe even himself, he doesn't know what's going on. He's my guest at the palace. And I repent before God because after you left me yesterday, God told me I was supposed to invite you to church. But I said, how can I invite such a big man to church? God brought you himself. To him be the glory. I'm sure you are surprised. God is good. Hallelujah. Invest. Can you steal from your home? Can you destroy your home? Wake up in the morning, take matches, set your home on fire. Can you wake up in the night, start taking bricks out of your own home? You cannot do that. So whenever you open your mouth and you tell a brick in the house, because we are all bricks in God's house, when you take a brick, stand up, sir. You say, come. You say, let us leave this place. Let's go somewhere else. What are you doing? What are you destroying? Your own house. You are destroying your own home. That's what people do. So because when you don't know who you are and where you are and what is happening, then you will use your mouth, instead of using your mouth to build the house and protect the house and fill the house with good things, you will use your mouth to destroy the house. And before you know it, a home has fallen apart. A home has been destroyed. You see, that place you are calling now a hell is a home for other people. It's a home. They don't need to know that rubbish. It's a home. Let's use our resources to build a home. Build the home. The sparrow has found a home. I pray in your lifetime, you will find a home in God's house. It will not be a place you visit. It is a place where you live. When you hear about a building project, you don't say, no, 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 that's not my house. I mean, let's be serious. You know, the first time God told me this, I thought a lot. Because when we were buying that vehicle, God told me there are people in that church that could buy it. One person could buy it. You remember I told you that here? That God told me there are people in this church that God has blessed them. They could say, pastor, that thing, I'm going to buy it alone. Don't bother the church about it. But it's because they don't say that, they don't see this place as a home. Why should I invest that type of money there? It's in my house again. That's why we invest so much in houses we're going to leave behind. And we fail to do the same for the house of God. But that is changing in Jesus' name. A new generation is rising from this church that is going to be on fire for God. People that will not hold back. People that will say, pastor, do you know, I have a pastor gave a testimony. He said there is a man who told him, pastor, choose an area and leave it to me. I said, what do you want? He said, choose an area where you want to take a branch of the church. Just choose an area. So he chose an area. The man went, bought the land, bought the bricks, built the entire cathedral, and came and said, Pastor, these are the keys. You are free to send the pastor there, and we already have another congregation that side. What can cause a person to do that is when I stop looking at God's house as God's house. God's house is my home. I say God's house is my home. I will not sit at home when I see God's house is falling apart. I will not do that. The sparrow has found a home. And because the sparrow has found a home, the sparrow can lay her eggs. Where are your eggs? Ask your neighbor, where are the eggs? Where are the eggs? Where are your eggs? You can sit, sir. Where are your eggs? Where are your eggs? The people spend their whole life, I'm looking for the right nets. I'm looking for the right nets. I'm looking for the right pastor, you know. I'm looking for the right church. And they die churchless. Yeah, because they keep looking, looking, keep looking, looking. One day you will wake up and you realize that you are not in the church. You are the church. Amen. You will wake up one day. You will wake up one day. And you will realize we don't go to church. We are the church. One day you'll wake up and you'll come to that realization. And that all this money I have wasted, I could have put it to a better use. I could have done better. I was building for myself. I was building for myself and I didn't know. I didn't know I was building for myself. Do I live in this building? I'm asking you, do I live here? Who is sitting on the chairs? One day you will wake up and you realize that everything we do is for ourselves again. It's for ourselves. That building we want to build there, do you think I will be here 100 years from now? But if we build it properly, don't you think 100 years from now that building will still be standing there? And maybe some of your children will have a place to call a home where they can go and worship? Don't you think that will be wise for you to have such a place? Don't you think it will be wise that there must be a place like that, that few years from now, even if I didn't leave my child anything, I will say, I have left my child a place of worship. Go and meet God in that place. But here we are holding back. Holding back so tight. Holding so tight to dear life. Whoever loves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. We are holding on too tight to things we're going to leave. By God's grace, I have communicated only one benefit today. And that is the benefit of being free to belong and to invest. Do you know why I tithe in the church freely? Because I'm now free. Do you understand? I'm no more looking at, I have found my home. Once you find your home, you are free to invest. To go all out. You don't wait for somebody to come and change your toilet in your house. Do you do that? Except in South Africa, people are waiting for the government to come and change toilet for them in their own houses. We are waiting for the government to come and take away the poo-poo we have done. The government must come with the truck. And if we don't, the government will go and chant. Ezamina mina eh, ezamina mina eh, come and take the poo-poo, come and take the poo-poo. Yes, that's us. So we take that mentality to church. We come to church. I've told you South Africa before. We are born in public hospitals. We don't pay a cent. Everything is given to us. We go home to an RDP that the government built. You stay with a woman you didn't pay lobola free. Then
You guys don't know me. Eh?
Free, no lobola, nothing, nothing. But you are pumping her with pregnancies, because every pregnancy is a grant, and you are waiting for that grant money. So, free hospital, free lobola, free house, free water, free electricity, free Apollo lights. Then you chant again, they come and put free toilet outside. Then free primary school. Everything free. Then we have been chanting for free university. So you are a freebie. You are just ever. You are free. You are a free. Ask your neighbor, are you a freebie? South Africa is powerful. Everything can be free if you know what to do. Everything can be free for you. Some people are even getting free grocery. Yeah. Free grocery every month. The government is helping them. Free bus allowance. Hey! It's a free life in a free nation. Amandla! I tell you, so when you come with that free mentality to church, then Pastor Parker starts saying to you, pay your tithe. Oh, what? Contribute money. Yeah. Give the Lord a shout in this place, somebody. Stand on your feet and give Jesus some praise. Come and praise Jesus. Raise your hands and praise Him. Come on.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. To experience our services live, join us every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. at Alive City Church Sun City, located near Cornerstone Academy. Hope to see you soon. Remember, you're alive to give life.